This is part of a series of podcasts dealing with the values that God has given to our network of churches. The following is the second and final teaching, looking at the value of mission. I'm back in the coffee shop again. Today it's not raining outside, it's snowing. It's the week before Christmas. Everything's covered in snow. It just seems like it's the right place to be talking about mission, though. Here in the shop, surrounded by people, some who I don't yet know, but many who I do, many who I've come to be friends with over the last number of weeks and months. In the last podcast, as you may recall, we began talking about this value of ours that the Lord gave to us about mission, seeing that the church is intended to actually have a fundamental posture of going. And as we came to a close at the last time, I shared with you how God had reworked my understanding of a vision that He had given to our churches in our first year. In the reworking, which I don't know that was for everyone, but it was certainly for me, I came to see that perhaps what God intends for our church is that we would become like a bucket brigade. What that means is that we're to be a people that first come to Him as the well of salvation, the source of all living water. And then dipping our buckets into Him, the well, we then, person by person, in relationship, carry that water into a world around us that is thirsty. In my sense, is the world that around us is becoming increasingly thirsty in these present times that we're in. What's interesting is that while He was reworking that vision, I was rereading through the book of Isaiah. And as I came to Isaiah 12, I discovered that this humble reworking wasn't new to me, but it was as old as the prophet who lived in the 8th century B.C. And it's to this prophet that I want us to turn for a moment as we begin our thoughts. As you flip over to chapter 12 of Isaiah in your Bible, allow me to take a moment to set the stage for you. In the first 11 chapters, Isaiah has been speaking against Israel, and particularly against the southern kingdom of Judah. He's spoken about how their sin is leading them astray, and how very soon God is going to punish them and lead them into exile. And then in chapter 11, though, the whole mood of the book begins to change, as Isaiah begins to look beyond the season of exile, when it's over, and he starts to envision a day when this Messiah will come. This Messiah, this anointed one, this king, he's going to have the role of making the way for the people of Israel to be restored, punishment over, let out of exile, out of the enemy's clutches. Chapter 11 is this incredible picture of shalom, peace, wholeness, finally being ushered into a creation that is messed up. And certainly that chapter 11 is a chapter that the Gospels, when Jesus comes, begins to realize. Then comes chapter 12. And in chapter 12, what we basically have is this short little song, just a few verses long, of reflection and praise. It's a vision of Isaiah where he's trying to capture the sentiment that God's people will have when the Messiah comes to lead creation out of exile and into shalom. I want you to listen to this short chapter as we read it together. We're going to read the whole thing. It begins in verse 1. In that day, you will say... So that is, in the day that Messiah comes, the people of God will say this: I will praise you, O Lord. Although you were angry with me, which is leading back to the first 10 chapters where there's the exile, your anger now has turned away, and you have comforted me. Surely God is my salvation. I will trust and not be afraid. The Lord is my strength and my song. He has become salvation. Now this is the key. With joy you will draw water from the wells of salvation. And in that day you will say, give thanks to the Lord, call on His name, make known among the nations what He has done, and proclaim that His name is exalted. Sing to the Lord, for He has done glorious things. Let this be known to all the world. Now this is the vision that God gave to Isaiah some 2,800 years ago. When the Messiah comes, you will, verse 3, draw water from the wells of salvation. And this water of salvation then will go out into the whole nations, into the islands, into the world. Now, what I like about this, being from our perspective, is that for Isaiah, this vision was entirely future tense. None of it had yet to come. But we stand on the other side of it. We stand in a day when it is being fulfilled. It hasn't been completely fulfilled, but it is presently being unfolded. And it began when the Messiah came. this is our picture, then. This is our mission. This is what we join in with. In joy, we join in with Isaiah chapter 12, with song and delight in our heart, out of a love for the Father, and out of his plan for the nations. And we, along with countless others, go and draw water from the wells of salvation that we ourselves drink. But then we have this wonderful commissioning of joining in the delivering of this water to the nations. We are in the day that Isaiah spoke of. This is our season. We are the bucket brigades of God, and I believe that God has, for simple churches, a very pointed calling in this day in our cities to join in on that mission of bringing the buckets of salvation to our neighborhoods and to the marginalized. The church must have the fundamental posture of going. Now, there's so much more we could say about mission. But I intended, though, that this series on our values would be short reflections and reminders. So we'll come back to the idea of mission many times in the years ahead. But for now, I want to close with just a few thoughts that are on my heart. And we could probably say that these are applications for us going from here. So the first thing is this that I want to say about mission, and that is this. Be at rest. I think this has been coming up very clearly in the last number of months, but I want to give one of the reasons why we can be at rest. The reason why is because Scripture makes it so clear that the kingdom and its growth is actually the Father's domain. It's up to the Father to grow his kingdom. Listen to the parable that Jesus told in Mark 4 about the kingdom of God. Verse 26, he also said, "This is what the kingdom of God is like. A man scatters seed in the ground. Night and day, whether he sleeps or gets up, the seed sprouts and grows, though he does not know how. All by itself, the soil produces grain. First the stalk, then the head, then the full kernel in the head. As soon as the grain is ripe, he puts the sickle to it, because the harvest has come." See, it grows all by itself. The Father is the one who waters it. He's the one that makes it grow. And we're called to join in this work, but we need to be clear that our responsibility is the scattering of the seed. The results are totally and completely in the Father's domain. Now, isn't that interesting in light of what has transpired in this last season of church history? Since about the 50s, the church in the West has become swept up in what has been termed the church growth movement. Basically, it's stated that the goal of the church was to grow, and the measure of a church's success was whether or not it was. Now, the first part of that might be somewhat true. It should be the hope of us to grow as new people become followers of a loving King. And as I've been saying, the fundamental posture of the church should be one of us moving into the world with grace. The second part of that, the measure of our success is growth. That I'm not so sure about. Why? Because it means that we're judging our success on something that in the first place was never to be our concern. The growth of the kingdom is the Father's job, something that was only ever to be the domain of the Father. Now, through all this, my point is not to say that we shouldn't be concerned to see as many people as possible come to encounter the water of Jesus. Of course we should. We want people to come and experience his love and his grace. It's just that our measure of success should never be built on whether or not they do or they don't. That's not our responsibility. So that leads then to a basic question. What then is the measure of success for the church? Well, we've been so oriented around growth for so long that it's hard to imagine another matrix for evaluating our work. Jonathan Friesen and I have begun to dialogue about this question, and we have a few ideas that are in our hearts, but one thing is for sure is that the underlining answer is this, that our measure of success is first and foremost faithfulness. Are we being faithful to what God is calling us as individuals and as a community toward? In this case, are we being faithful to deliver water to people? Are we being faithful to love our neighbors? Are we being faithful to serve the world around us? This is all that God has asked of us, and beyond this, the results are really up to him. Which then is why we need to be at rest. Fundamentally, growth is not our responsibility in the kingdom. It should be our prayer, it should be our longing, we should do all that we can to see it happen. But we must, at the end of the day, rest, knowing that the Father has a plan for our city and our world, which we usually are not privy to. We don't fully understand what's happening around us. And so, we just need to do what we're called to do, and in the end, entrust the rest and the results up to the Father. That all said, secondly, we need to be intentional. When I look at my life prior to Simple Churches, I can't believe how much of my life was spent with other Christians working on church or discipleship things. to be brutally honest, I think that every one of my meaningful relationships was with other followers of Jesus. And in retrospect, I wonder, how could I ever have actually been involved in truly bringing hope and water to my neighbors and to my world when I carried no meaningful relationships with anyone in my world? Now, this isn't rocket science, but if we're going to be bringing loving bucketfuls of water to the world, it means that we need to have relationships in the world. And in order to have those relationships in the world, we need to be intentionally persistent in building them, spending time, moving beyond our own relational comfort zones. It's just the basic part of what it means to be on a bucket brigade. Third is we also need to listen to the Holy Spirit. And I think this ties in nicely to where the last point ended off, because we can hear this call to be intentional in the relationships, and that then can quickly spiral into either doing relationships out of duty or out of some God agenda, both of which, for obvious reasons, I think are misaligned, and both of which our world picks up on, and rightly so, as being ingenuine. And so what do we do then? We build honest relationships in the world, and as we do this, we listen to the Spirit and follow His promptings. As we do this, I believe He'll tell us how to handle each of our relationships. Some He'll say, don't say a word about me right now, just be a friend. And some He'll say, I want you to be in this person's life, here and now. But in order to know how to live this life, we need to start listening to the Spirit. I often think about Paul and his own missionary journeys, how often he spoke about God opening doors to this city and while closing other doors. We need to be patiently listening on that manner, not forcing relationships, not being obnoxious with a mission, just looking for doors that open and being okay with those that don't. When Jesus sent his disciples out on their first mission, he told them to look into each town for a man of peace and then to stay there with that man of peace. I think as we are intentional, we look for the men and women of peace in our world, in our neighborhoods, those that the Spirit enables to receive our message. And for those that don't, no sweat, there's no pressure. The Father has a plan for them too, just maybe not right now. But again, that's His business. That's His story. Fourth thing to say is, we need to be people then that just follow the pathway of the rabbi. As you continue to step into the world, keep in your heart the picture of Jesus. How did He act toward the world? Where did He go? How did He behave? To this end, I say, read the Gospels. Read them and reread them and reread them. Ask the Spirit to give you a picture of how Jesus acted and how and who He acted towards. See Him. See who He went to. See who He stood against. See Him. And then, in the Spirit's strength, just simply to desire and aim to act the same way. I think that's enough for now. Be at rest. Be intentional. Listen to the Spirit. Follow the pathways of Jesus.